Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a review of the New England Patriots passing game here. It will struggle to see what it's going to look like. I think it's vastly different if it's Mac Jones versus Cam Newton. So we'll watch and we'll see sort of with that. So just some overview generally of the offense last year. 31st in terms of designed pass rate, 52.4%. Yards per attempt, 7.1. That was 20th. Play action, 33.9% of the time. That was 4th in the league. Routes for running backs, 0.83 routes. That's 14th. Targets, 0.21. That's actually 5th. Receptions, 0.17. That's 3rd. And yards, 1.47. That's 14th. James White special. Receivers, wide receivers, 2.73 routes per dropback. That's 14th. Targets, 0.50. That's 14th. Receptions, 0.34. That is 16th. And yards, 4.12. That is 18th. The tight ends, just dismal. That's why you went out and got Hunter Henry. 31st, 32nd, 32nd, 31st. Across the boards in terms of routes, targets, receptions, and yards. So pretty disappointing there ultimately in terms of their production. Some of the stuff I think is interesting. Red zone rush rate, 70.3%, highest in the league. The quarterback run rate, it was very high as well, 45%. 31.9% of their offense in the red zone was quarterback runs. Just an outrageously high number. So I think if Mac Jones is the quarterback, that's something we're going to watch for and see potentially different. 15th in terms of PFF passing grade as a unit last year on the offensive line. Some changes going on. They lost Joe Thuney. They did lose Demir Byrd as well. He played almost 90% of their snaps last year. Lost Burkhead, lost Edelman, obviously, to retirement. The notable draft picks, Mac Jones, Ramondre Stevenson. They added Ted Karras as a center. He was 15th in terms of PFF grade for centers last year, so that's good. But not projected to start presently, so we'll watch on that. Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, both added to the tight end game. Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne to go with Jacoby Myers. N'Keal Harry, who's hurt at present, but a remade offense there. They added Alex Redmond and Trent Brown as well to their offense. To their offensive line. So Isaiah Wynn is projected to be the left tackle. So we'll see there in terms of his development as he comes along here. Also Mike Onwenu at left guard, David Andrews at center, Shaq Mason right guard, Trent Brown right tackle. In terms of the grades there for the position, Onwenu, their left guard, didn't qualify last year. David Andrews was 25th with a 56.4 PFF grade. So Ted Karras might actually be an upgrade. So we'll see. We'll watch for that. Shaq Mason, 47th in terms of PFF grade, 60.5. So about, you know, average to below average at the position there for their right guard. So some interior line question marks. Left tackle Isaiah Wynn didn't play the full allotment of snaps. So only played 641 snaps. He ranked 35th in terms of PFF's pass grade. So again, there's room to grow there with him. So we'll definitely be watching for that. And then you also have Trent Brown, who interestingly came from the Patriots, went back to the Raiders in the trade, now has come back. So he played only 282 snaps last year, ranked 39th in PFF grade. So we'll see, you know, what the health situation is there with him. So some question marks on the offensive line, and we'll have to watch for that. I think the interesting stuff, again, it's very much a different offense between Cam Newton and your rookie there, Mac Jones. I think that's a big difference in terms of what the offense might look like. Just run down here some of the reception stuff from last year. Jacoby Myers actually led them in targets and led them in receptions. again, that's not a great answer considering he had a total of 78 targets last year, 59 receptions, 729 yards, 2.24 yards per route run. So that's pretty good. 19.7 percent target rate. So, you know, that's okay. Points per target's like fine. It was 1.69, 54th in terms of ranking. So if this offense drastically changed from being the 31st to the 15th offense in terms of, you know, in terms of where they rank at the design passing rate, I think you could see some potential uptick there from Jacoby Myers. N'Keal Harry's disappointment, 55 targets, 33 receptions, 309, 0.97 yards per route run. I notated in a Football Guys article recently about his points per target was 1.38, so that's real low. You'd expect some regression there. Just a disaster from the tight end position. Devin Asiasi, 7 targets. Dalton Keene, 5. So two spent day two picks on tight ends and not great results. And then you ultimately bring in Hunter Henry, you bring in Jonnu Smith. So we'll see. Maybe they develop some depth there at the position there with Asiasi and Keene and see what they can get out of them. It'd be interesting if they actually got something out of those guys. You could run some three tight end sets. You could do some interesting stuff there with those guys. We'll see what that development looks like, but not particularly hopeful. You do add in Nelson Aguilar to this offense, which I think is actually pretty interesting. He's been one that's actually been, I think, better than he's been given credit for in his career. And he became kind of labeled as a bust just because, you know, that's what we do, but really bounced back last year with the Raiders. And, I was listening to a podcast recently and they were talking about, like, he's a guy that has a really strong work ethic and, you know, that there was that was something that Chip Kelly really liked about him when he came out. And basically that it was, you know, he was really into a lot of the newer, you know, into the newer analytics stuff and into a lot of the newer, like, preparation stuff. And it was a former staffer for the Eagles that was actually on the podcast, and he was talking about, you know, his development and that sort of stuff. And it didn't go, you know, according to plan, I guess you could say, but that he did put in a lot of work and it was, you know, it didn't really work out for him. Well, it has now, right? He goes 896 last year, 48 receptions, over 2 in terms of yards per route run. So 2.04 yards per route run, 16% target percentage there. So he makes a good buck in in free agency. Kendrick Bourne also brought in. So that's notable there. So they're keeping adding bodies. Again, I don't know if they've got like a number one option, but they've got a lot of guys, and there's a theory. I'm not sure I necessarily buy it, but there is a theory that having a lot of options instead of one consolidated, you know, true one alpha, you know, a lead wide receiver can actually provide you some value because you're stressing the defense in multiple ways. Again, I'm not sure I buy that, and I think they probably overpaid in free agency, but there is a theory out there, and if there's something to that, I wouldn't be shocked if the Patriots were the team that was really on it and sort of exploiting that. Kendrick Bourne, 72 targets there for San Francisco last year, 49 receptions, 667 through the air, 1.49 yards per route run, so that's okay. He had 13.6% of their targets last year. So that's really the rundown there. Again, it's a lot of questions in terms of how their offense might look in terms of, you know, who's under center. And if through the first couple weeks here, you've got Mac Jones being the one of the best graded quarterbacks in the league in terms of preseason performance. So I think that's an interesting, it's just a really, really interesting dilemma that they have. And I think it's probably a good one. You know, what's the adage? If you have two, you don't have one. I'm not sure that's true. And we'll see there. I tend not to think that Cam's a long-term answer. I think we kind of know what he is at this point. But yeah, if there was some splits last year, pre and post COVID there with him, that I think you could say like there is some optimism there in terms of what he did at the beginning of the season. Again, he was actually below expectation last year, negative 0.26 in terms of his completion percentage over expectation. He's been that basically out of the 5 years where PFF's had, or where NextGen has had that stat. Only once has he graded out positively. He missed 2019 and didn't qualify. I think he actually played a little bit, but didn't qualify. And then he's been negative. So that's not really who he's been. But notably, a significant downtick in terms of aggressive throw rate. I think that's interesting. Intended air yards is actually down off of 2018. It's the lowest that he's had in that five-year span. Again, it was only four because he didn't qualify in 2019. So interesting. It was more time to throw last year. So taking a lot of time to throw, but not throwing it that far is usually not the recipe that you're looking for. That is usually a sign that you don't have receivers getting open. So, which we kind of know. So the football guys' projections, we'll just run down quick. Tight end, I think it's interesting. Jonnu Smith, 13th, and Hunter Henry, 19th at the position. So you're getting two tight end, two type production finishes there. Probably not what you're hoping for. I think the whole situation caps their upside, which is kind of, you know, which is ultimately kind of disappointing, you know, and isn't exactly what you want to get out of all that. I think that there was a scenario in which the tight end position got deeper because of free agency, and maybe Jonnu Smith went to a better situation, and Hunter Henry either stayed with the Chargers or he went to a better situation himself. Like, those things could have happened. And now they basically harpoon each other. So that's a disappointing outcome. Nelson Aguilar, their best projected wide receiver, 66. Jacoby Myers, 71st. Kendrick Bourne, 98th in terms of PFF grade, 133 there for N'Keal Harry. So those are disappointments in terms of you're not really getting – you might – like, it's conceivable that your only starter is at the running back position, or that you're not even – like, you don't have a fantasy starter on this offense. Like, that's not an outrageous outcome. And at present, we don't project Damian Harris to be a starter either. So he's 31st in terms of his projection. At the quarterback position, we're still projecting a split. I don't think it'll probably be that way. I think it'll be more one way or another, but we project nine to eight games played there at the quarterback position between Newton and Mac Jones. So Newton just over nine, Mac Jones actually just under nine, so 8.6. So we'll see there in terms of how that ultimately unfolds. I think that's the key watch here with this team is what happens with the quarterback position. I think if the quarterback position changes, you could definitely see a change in especially some of the passing rates and the red zone stuff in particular. Like, I think that's definitely an elevating thing where you could see multiple guys from, you know, maybe the tight end position even in particular. Like, you could see two starters there. Maybe they're fringe tight end ones just because you get you're more attempts in the red zone instead of the rushes. So I think that's something to definitely watch for. In terms of the costs on these guys, you've got Jonnu Smith. He's tight end 13 in terms of his median ADP. Hunter Henry, tight end 18 there. So again, I think Henry's interesting, especially in like safe leagues, because there's not a clear wide receiver one. Like, you could see some volume and maybe it's not ultimately like that you know, that helpful, but that's from a flex play consideration. I think that's interesting. Nelson Aguilar, 75th in terms of his rank. Jacoby Myers, 71st again. So that's you're looking way down the dial. N'Keal Harry, 96th over the past month. I think the interesting question would be to me, like, what happens with Cam Newton after this? Again, does he play well enough to potentially play? Is he someone that could see a third act with a different team next year? He's 33rd in terms of quarterback RDP. I'm not super optimistic. Mac Jones is 23rd. And again, you could sort of look, you know, up at the position. Like, it seems pretty appropriate. He's behind Cousins, behind Brady, Mayfield, Tua, Zach Wilson. So I don't think he's any, he's like, I'm not sure I would put him super higher than he is, but I will say from it's probably one of the reasons why I'm lower on Joe Burrow. Like, a lot of the same profile stuff that Burrow had, Mac Jones had. And if this knee injury is going to hold back Burrow from running, like, that could be a big concern in terms of his overall fantasy production. And if you're going to get, you're basically relying on a lot of the same passing arguments at that point, which is, hey, really good final year in college and that sort of thing. Like, well, Mac Jones had an even better year in his final year in college. Like, he was the best graded PFF passer in PFF's college history. So, you know, they had really good weapons. Well, they both did, right? So a lot of the same arguments that you have, what I would say are questions about Burrow, you have the same questions and concerns about Mac Jones. Is the supporting cast better with Cincinnati? Probably. But, you know, how long does that last? What development do you get? All that stuff. Like, there's questions there as well. And do you want to pay that big of a spread? It's probably not as big of a difference. It's not maybe the best argument for Mac Jones, but it's kind of my skepticism argument about Burrow is ultimately the similarities between their profiles. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.